Well, good morning. If you are joining us for the first time this morning, we've been in the midst of a study through the Gospel of John, but I want us to keep the bigger picture in mind here as we go through this study. We're a people on the move, and we're a people on the move because we worship a God who is on the move. And one of the things that our leadership has done over the last several months has been trying to discern where God is leading this congregation. And one of the things that we have decided to do is study the book of Deuteronomy a little bit in our own time and pray through that. And one of the things that's been discerned is that Israel was a people on the move as well. And in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, you have Moses who is encouraging the people of Israel who are on the move, who are going from one place to another, to remember a few things. And we saw some things in that chapter, some things we talked about at the beginning of the year. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses tells the people that they need to remember their identity and where it's found, that they need to remember their priorities and what they are, that they need to be intentional in practicing their faith and their commitment to the Lord, and that they need to be committed to being in the Word. And one of the things that we talked about and has been expressed time and time again is that that's not just for the people of Israel. And that's not just something that has found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, but that we also, as a people on the move, just like the people of Israel, need to remember what our identity is and who it's found in. We need to name our priorities and commit ourselves to them. We need to be intentional about practicing our faith and being committed to the Lord. And we also need to be in the Word constantly. And so one of the things we've talked about is that our identity is primarily found in Jesus. And if that's the case, one of the first things we're going to name as a priority is the gospel that He came to preach and to proclaim. And so we have been studying the book of John because our priorities are rooted in Jesus and in His gospel. But I want us to pause for just a moment this morning. We are a people on the move. We are headed somewhere together. We are going on a journey. But I want us to rest for just a few moments this morning. To sit and be quiet in the presence of God. To rest in His presence and to allow His Word to wash over us this morning. Let's go to the Father in prayer as we begin. Father, we come before You, broken people. There are times where we have failed to live up to Your commands. There are times where we have been faithful. There are times in which we've been faithless. And Father, as we continue to be a people on the move, headed to where You are leading us, we pray that You would help us to remember that in You and You alone, our identity is found. Help us to name our priorities and to keep them as priorities, Father. We ask that You'd help us to be intentional in living out our faith, not just here, but in our homes and in our workplaces, at school, at the grocery store, and beyond. And Father, we pray that You would help us to continue to be committed to Your Word. And this morning, Father, as we rest in Your presence and as we hear a word from You, we ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you are familiar with Craigslist? Anybody ever looked for something on Craigslist? It's pretty popular these days. If you are looking for anything, more than likely you can find it on Craigslist. And that doesn't just go for furniture or for electronics or for movies or for an automobile. It actually goes for people as well. You may not have ever noticed this. There's a whole section devoted to looking for certain people. And one of the things on Craigslist caught my attention the last couple of weeks. It's a section you can click on called Missed Connections. And basically under this Missed Connections is a group of people who saw someone, who interacted with someone for maybe the briefest of moments. They didn't catch their name and they didn't catch their number, and they're just hoping and praying this person reads this Craigslist ad. And some of them are pretty funny. You know, it's something like, I was walking my dog and there you came along and you were wearing that black shirt with no sleeves and you had big tattoos going down your arms and your dog was a mutt, but I felt like there was a connection between us. And if you're reading this, please call me. or something like we were going through Walmart in the frozen food section and you and I reached for that package of meat at the same time and our hands touched and it was electric. And I don't know where you are, but I hope you're reading this. Call me. Some of them are pretty funny. But all joking aside, my guess is that most of us gathered in this place are searching for someone or something. And some of us may be pretty certain we found it, and that's why we're here. And some of us may still be searching. And this passage that we're going to look at in John chapter 9 this morning, there is a lot of searching going on. And I just want to come in alongside those in this text who are searching and search with them this morning. And maybe, just maybe, we'll find who it is that we're looking for. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 9. We'll be there for a few moments this morning. And read along with me, beginning in the first verse. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. "I don't know." So you've got Jesus who's been walking around ministering to people, ushering in the kingdom of God. And one of the things that he tells his disciples is that he is the light of the world and that night is upon the world, but he is ushering in this new light. And right after he says that, they come upon a man who can't see the light of day. He's blind. Always has been, presumably always will be. And he's sitting and he's begging and they ask the age-old question, what did he do that he got this lot in life? What horrible sin did he commit, or what horrible sin did his parents commit that he was born with this disability? And you might think that's an old, primitive question, but I have to tell you, that thought is alive and well today. We have some dear friends in this church who have been experiencing the pain and the struggle and infirmity of their daughter, and who have had people in the hospital who have actually had the gall to say, "You must not be living right, sweetheart." That idea is alive and well. The idea that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. You get what you deserve. You reap what you sow. You made your bed, you get to lie in it. And they ask the question, what did he do? What was his sin? Jesus said, it wasn't a result of sin. In fact, one of the things you're going to get to see is that God wants to display his work in this man. God wants to show you the light of the world working. God wants to show you the kingdom of God breaking into a world filled with darkness. This man's sin has nothing to do with it. And I just want to point out, though I don't think this is the point of the story, I just want to point out we need to be very careful about that attitude. Because every time there's a tragedy, and every time some sort of calamity strikes a group of people, it's not long before a man of God stands up and begins proclaiming, this is why it happened. Because they were sinful. Because they turned their back on God. Because they sold their soul to Satan. Whatever it is, people make a lot of money. And they get a lot of amens by saying things like that. And I want to say that Jesus says, be careful about that. It has nothing to do with this man's sin. He doesn't deserve this. He didn't do anything to merit such a lot in life. But God's going to display His work in this man. And so Jesus, here goes Jesus again. He's playing in the dirt. We saw that last week, didn't we? The accusers come. They throw this woman who's been caught in adultery at His feet, and Jesus starts playing in the dirt. He starts drawing or writing, whatever He's doing. And He's at it again. Have you ever noticed how tangible and physical this gospel is? I mean, we've got flesh and blood. We've got bread and water. We've got dirt and now mud. Jesus spits on the ground. He sinks His hands in it. He puts it upon the face and the eyes of this man who can't see. And I don't know about you, but I sure hear some big echoes from Genesis 1. See, one of the things I've mentioned over and over again is I think John is retelling the story of creation through Jesus, which is why John begins his gospel the same way that Genesis begins its book. In the beginning, Jesus is ushering in a new creation. And just as God reached down and formed humanity out of the dust of the earth, so now Jesus sinks His hands into the dirt, into the mud, and He begins to reform this man's eyes. He's recreating him all over. Jesus is ushering in the new creation of God. So He takes the ground and He reforms the man's eyes. I like the way that N.T. Wright says it. He says, new creation, well, that stuff happens. Transformation, healings, they really do take place. How? Well, through Jesus, of course. And the question from the text, and the question maybe all of us are asking is this, where can we find Him? The healed man doesn't know. But John writes his gospel so that you and I will know the answer to that question. Let's keep reading, if you will. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked Him how He'd received His sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes He opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know that he was born blind, but now how can he see? Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who'd already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. This was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? You got to admire the sarcasm a little bit there, right? Anybody that looking for a verse to support your sarcastic nature? And they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. We've got this conversation going on. Division. Disagreement. What does this man, this Jesus, have to do with God? Are they connected at all? Is Jesus in some way connected to God and we're not aware of it? Or is he just Is he tapping into some sort of other spiritual power in the universe? We've had that conversation already in the Gospel of John. Maybe he's tapping into some sort of demonic forces that's allowing him to do this. And there's a conversation going back and forth. Some say there's no way he's from God. He breaks the Sabbath. Others say, how in the world could he be doing these things if he weren't from God? And one of the things I just want to point out this morning is, I don't think also that trying to discern the work of God in the world is a primitive problem either. I don't know about you, but I have times discerning the work of God in my life from times. Is this from God or is this me? Is this from God or is this my own agenda or will? And you see the battle going back and forth in this text. Maybe he's from God. Maybe he's not. So they bring in the man's parents. Don't you like the way the parents just throw him under the bus? Is this your son? Was he born blind? Yeah. But he's of age. Ask him. And I think we get a clue as to what's going on for John's readers in this text. People are starting to be thrown out of the synagogue for believing that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's not a small inconvenience. You see, the synagogue was basically the focus of the entire community. And you might as well have been better off leaving the area altogether if you were thrown out of the synagogue, because you had no friends, and you had no family, and you had no connection to anyone. People are being thrown out of the synagogue for their faith, and these parents say, not us. If he wants to do that, he can say that. They throw their son under the bus. Not much courage on their part. Discerning the work of God in the world. I don't claim to have any answers on how we do that. I know it's best done in community. I know it's best done by committing ourselves to the Word of God and asking the hard questions, but I also know it's a difficult process. And I think one of the things, one of the many things that this text calls us to do is to continue to try and discern where is God and where is He working? And in what way is He calling you and I to partner with Him in this world? I think we're encouraged to continue the discussion. Sometimes we have eyes to see. Sometimes we don't. One last part of this passage, and we'll be done. Starting in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown Him out. When He found Him, He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is He, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in Him. Jesus said, you have now seen Him. In fact, He is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with Him heard Him say this, and they asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I have come into this world so that those who can see will be blind. Those who are blind, that they can see. See, I have this image in John's Gospel in chapter 9. The question is, where is this man that healed you? Where can we find Him? And the healed man doesn't know the answer. But John gives us a clue. If you're looking for Jesus, look for this. He's got mud on his hands. This is a Jesus who's willing to get his hands dirty. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, I've come into this world to get my hands dirty. And not just that, I've come into this world to get your faces dirty. I think that's what he's saying. I've come into this world to blind those who see and to make those who see blind. I think what he's saying is, I've come into this world to smear mud on everyone's eyes. And those who can see, they're those who've gone and washed. Did you ever notice that? Never noticed that before this week. He doesn't just see right after Jesus puts mud on his eyes. He doesn't wash the man. He tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he does. And he sees. And all those who can see have gone and they've washed. And all those who can't, they've still got mud on their eyes. They still got mud on their eyes. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you want to see the kingdom? Got to be born again. You got to be born of water and of spirits. I think this man's just experienced a rebirth. We're a people who are committed to rebirth. We're a people who are committed to going and washing. We are a people who have had mud in our eyes and want to be able to see again. And my temptation is I want to lead people to Jesus, but I don't want to do the hard work of having the mud washed from my eyes. I'd love to be able to lead others to Him and say, this is how you're supposed to live, and these are the things God calls you to do. But before I can do that, I gotta go be washed. Otherwise, it's the blind leading the blind. And I think the call for the church today, regardless of whether or not you've experienced baptism, is to say, come and be washed again. Have your eyes cleansed. Have the mud washed from your face so that you can see. And if your eyes are truly open, this is what you'll see. The Son of Man in all His glory. And what I want to ask you this morning is, can you see Him? Can you see Him? Can you see Jesus at work in this world? Can you see God moving and acting and breathing new life and new creation into a broken world today? Because if you can't, maybe you need to go to the pool of Siloam. Maybe you've still got mud on your eyes. So come and be washed in the waters of baptism. Or come and be washed in the presence of God so that you can see. And once we see, well, then we can show others. Let's pray. Father, I'm struck by the powerful words of a song we've known and sang for generations. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Father, we want to be a people who can see. We want to be a people who can see You at work in this world. We want to be a people who can see Jesus moving and working all around us. And we want to be a people who can look to You and point to You and lead others to You. And Father, for those of us who've got mud caked on our faces, we ask that You'd help us to take the courageous steps of being washed. Not that our lives will improve drastically the moment we make that decision, for certainly this man's life got turned upside down after that. But Father, we ask that You would help us to wash so that we may see You in all of Your glory, and we can invite others along for the process. We want to see the kingdom, Lord. We want to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done on this earth as in heaven. And we know we need our eyes washed in order to do that. So Father, cleanse our eyes. Give us vision again so that we may see You and lead others to Your Son Jesus. This is our prayer in His name. Amen. We have shepherds in this place who don't claim to have perfect vision, but they do know what they can see. They can see Jesus in front of them, and they're doing their best to follow. And they'll come alongside you whatever need you may have this week, whether it's a joy to celebrate or a tragedy to mourn about. Whether you're struggling with your spiritual vision or whether you just want to bring a victory before God, we want you to know we have shepherds in this place who are following the chief shepherd. Because they've gone and washed their eyes and they can see Him ahead. We're a people on the move, and we're following the light into the darkness. If you have a need at all, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?